بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we're grateful to Allah once again for this opportunity to continue with our book, Sahih al-Bukhari. Today being the, is it by your calculation, is it also the fourth? Jumad al-Akhirah, is it also the fourth? This, inshallah, is the fourth, not first, fourth. This is the fourth day of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1425 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. We were not able to finish treating the hadith that we took last week. We're going to continue from where we stopped, and we hope that inshallah today we will finish with that hadith, insha'Allah. The hadith is hadith number 5 and number 6. It's actually the item number 7, but it's the 6th hadith in the book. And it's about Abu Sufyan's story of how King Heraclius, who is known as Heraclu in Arabic, he's also known as what? What's his other name apart from Heraclius? Apart from Heraclu, what's his other name? He's also called Caesar, right? Huh? It's about his story, how he invited Abu Sufyan and his caravan to his palace, and how he asked him questions concerning some things that he had heard about our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We said that the connection of this hadith to this chapter is the fact that this hadith, what happened, actually happened in the early days of Islam, and it was about the revelation and the things that had been sent to the king concerning the religion. So the king was asking Abu Sufyan some questions which were supposed to confirm the truth in the claim of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam or otherwise. Like we said, this king, he read the Old Testament, what had been in existence before the Quran. So he knew how our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was described. He knew some of the things to expect from a true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was asking questions to see whether some of those things that he knew would be confirmed or not. If they were confirmed, if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam satisfied all those conditions that he knew, then he would be sure that this was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So amongst the questions that he asked, we treated some. I think we stopped where he asked Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. The last question he asked him, whether you ever thought him to be a liar. Is that where we stopped? So he said, فَهَلْ كُنْتُمْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا قَالَ قُلْتُ لَا. That's the last question we treated that. He asked him if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was ever seen as a liar. If he ever told them a liar, or if they had any reason to see him, to suspect him, or to label him a liar. And Abu Sufyan said, no, he had never told a lie before them. before he started claiming prophethood, they never knew him to tell a lie. You see, the Arabs were people known for poetry, rich in poetry. They're still very rich in poetry. Some of the best poets you can find in the world are from the Arabian world. And at the time that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, he was sent in the midst of people who were very rich. That they had poets who could condemn your life through their poetry, or who could make you a king when you were nobody through their poetry. They were orators, they talked very well. And so they mastered the art of talking. So much so that they knew when a man was telling a lie and when he was telling the truth by the movement of his lips. If they were looking at you about 20, 30 meters away talking, and they were looking at your lips moving, they could say that that man was telling the truth or is telling a lie. They didn't need to hear what you were saying. If they watched their lips moving and your face another, and say, that man is telling the truth. Those same people looked at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observed his lips moving all the time, and just called him Al-Amin. He just gave him the title Al-Amin. So they had actually confirmed before he came with this claim that this man will never tell a lie. You watch his lips moving and he has never been seen to tell a lie. So Abu Sufyan confirmed this when he was asked this question. So Hiraqli went to the next question. Said, فَحَلْ يَغْدِرْ. If the man is not a liar and you have confirmed that he never told you a lie and you have no reason to think that he would ever tell a lie or that he had told a lie. So he now asked, do you know him for treachery? Does he betray when there is a promise between you or there is a covenant or anything? Did you ever know him for betrayal? Did he ever do that to you? And he said, no. No. You see, Abu Sufyan wanted a way. He actually was looking for a way to tell a lie or to say something that would be derogatory concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But all these questions, he had no chance. There was no way he could tell a lie. There was no way he could make the king hate our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the questions that were asked, he knew that the answers he was giving were just going to sell the Prophet to the king. And he was looking for a way to stop all that. So when he was asked this question, he said, no, I don't know him for treachery. But now, he said, وَنَحْنُ مِنْهُ فِي مُدَّةٍ لَا نَدْرِي مَا هُوَ فَاعِلٌ فِيهَا. Right now there's a covenant between us. There's a treaty between us. We don't know what he's going to do about that, concerning the treaty. We are not sure. We don't know. Is he going to betray us? Is he going to carry out the terms of the treaty to the last? We are not sure about that now. This was the only thing he found that he could say about the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would look like a derogatory statement. So you would have expected Heraclius to say, okay, this is a minus, isn't it? That there is a treaty, but the people are not sure, which means there's something questionable about him. He made a promise, but you are not sure he will keep it, or you don't know if he will keep it. This is saying that you don't trust him, isn't it?
قَالَ وَلَمْ تُمْكِنِّي كَلِمَةٌ أُدْخِلُ فِيهَا شَيْئًا غَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ.
And it was, I saw that Abu Sufyan is saying that he was sure, he saw that there was no way he could make any statement that would cast some doubt on the personality, on the trustworthiness of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the statement that he was able to make. What effect did he have? Qala, King Heraclius said, فَحَلْ قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ. He now asked the next question. Did you ever fight him? Were you ever engaged in a war against him? Which means he didn't pay attention to that statement that was made. The statement that there is a treaty and we don't know what he will do concerning the treaty. He didn't even pay attention to that because he knew that was just a way of finding a way of blaming the man. But if the man is not a liar, I will never believe that in this treaty he has not betrayed you yet. You don't know him for betrayal. So you are not sure he will not betray, we'll leave that until he betrays you. But for now he just refused to pay attention to that. That is how judges are supposed to work. If a man comes making a statement that is not very clear, don't work with it. Don't work with it yet until he has said something that will really be gripping the person. You see, statements like this can be confusing, and if you work with them, they'll get you in danger. Mughira bin Shu'bah was somebody known for his smartness. But one day a youth outsmarted him. There was a girl he wanted to marry. And one young man came and said he wanted to tell Mughira something about that girl. What was it? Said, I saw a man kissing that girl. Subhanallah. Mughira said, a man kissing the girl? He said, no, I don't want her anymore. So he said, I will not marry her anymore. The man just said, I saw a man kissing her. A man. And Mughira said, I will not marry her any longer. Fine. When the young man knew that Mughira was no longer marrying the girl, he went and settled with the parents, and he married the girl. So Mughira heard. He said, but why did you, you told me you saw a man kissing her. Why did you marry her? I said, yes, I saw her father kissing her. You see, he just made a confusing statement. He said, I saw a man kissing her. Mughira should have been smarter than that. He should have thought a lot. A man, just a man. Yes, there are some men that can kiss her. Her father can kiss her, isn't it? If her brother kisses her, what is wrong with that? Huh? If he gives her a peck on her cheek, what is wrong with it? Her brother, her maternal or paternal or both. Is there anything wrong with it? You can kiss your sister, can't you? Can't you? not the type of kiss between husband and wife. Eh? But can't you give your sister a peck? You can give your daughter a peck. You can give your mother a peck, can't you? Huh? You can't marry these people. But you don't give them the type of kiss that a husband gives his wife. I don't think they will even allow you to do that. Huh? So, he outsmarted him by that. So, if you are a judge and you are told such statements, you ignore them. They are not very clear. What do you mean? Be straight to the point. Do you mean that the man has betrayed you, or you don't know if he will betray you? You say you don't know. Okay, wait until he betrays you. Isn't it so? He didn't care about that statement. So he just asked him the next question straight. He said, فَهَلْ قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ Did you ever fight a war against him? قُلْتُ نَعْمُ Abu Sufyan said, I said yes. قَالَ So he rightly said, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ قِتَالُكُمْ إِيَّاهُ So how was the war between you? قُلْتُ I said, الْحَرْبُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُ سِجَالٌ يَنَالُ مِنَّا وَنَنَالُ مِنْهُ The war between us was 50-50, that's sijal, 50-50. Sometimes we won, sometimes he won. The Muslims defeated the kuffar sometimes. Sometimes the kuffar defeated the Muslims. In some wars like Uhud, the Muslims would suffer and then enjoy. You understand? So he said that was the nature of the battles between us. Qala, Heraclius said, Mada ya'murukum. Now that he has asked questions concerning the things that happened, the war, whether the man was trustworthy, and so on and so forth, he now said, concerning what does he command you? What are the commands that he issues? What does he ask you to do? Qultu, Abu Sufyan said, I said, Yaqulu, U'budu Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. U'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. He commands us to worship Allah and not to associate any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he asks us to do. وَاتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. And leave all that your fathers say, all their superstitions, all their traditions, all their tales, leave all of them. All the things that your fathers say, leave them alone. And if he says, مَا يَقُولُ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, يَقُولُ here will refer to what they do, their acts, and then what they say. Because of the Arabs say qala sometimes, they are not talking about what you said with your mouth. They're talking about what you did with your lips. And they will say qala. In some ahadith, when we come to them, you find that the Sahaba will be saying qala biyadihi hakaza. Have you heard such hadith before? Qala biyadihi hakaza. He said with his hand. He said so with his hands. So you can talk with your hands. So sometimes the things you do with your fingers could be counted as statements against you. For instance, you see niggers now, niggers, wayward people. They do this to you, what does it mean? This is a statement, isn't it? This is a dirty statement. If you go to the judge and you say, the man did this to me, he will ask the boy, did you do that? The boy says, yes, okay, flog him. Give him 10 lashes, because this is a statement. This is a statement, and this is also a statement. Isn't it? There is a very surprising statement in this world that cuts across nations. If you go to Egypt and do this, it's a very good statement. You go to Spain and do this, they will remove your teeth. You go to another nation and do this is something else. Just this. So there are statements you can make with your fingers or your legs and so on. So if they say qala, you first of all should confirm. What does this statement mean? Does it mean the qala that you do with your mouth, with your lips, your tongue, or the one that you do with your limbs, or both? So, Abu Sufyan said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Arabs to shun all that their fathers, their great-grandfathers, their ancestors, all that they told them, which were not in line with Islam. Leave all that alone. He told them that. And you see, when your father is saying the rebellious against, when somebody is saying be rebellious against your father, he's simply asking you to rebel against anybody, any other person except Allah, because your father is the most important man that exists on earth. So if I tell you to rebel against your father, I'm saying rebel against any other person except Allah. وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْعَفَافِ وَالصِّلَةِ. And Abu Hurairah said, Abu Sufyan said, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands them also to perform salah. He also commands them to be truthful. In another riwayah, he commands them to give sadaqah, alms. Because you know the Quran comes always with aqimus salata wa atuz zakata. So some ulama say it should be as sadaqah here, not as sidq. But they are all authentic. He commands them to be truthful. He commands them to give zakah, to commands them to give alms, to be generous, just like the Prophet is generous, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he commands them to be chastity. So he preached against nudity and all that immorality. And he asked them, he commanded them to keep, to maintain their ties with their kith and kin, their relatives, their cousins, the linguist say we should say cousins, not cousins. Cousins, they say it's cousins, not cousins. Do you care about that? What matters is you know what we are talking about. So with their cousins or cousins, their brothers or brothers, their uncles or uncles. Sometimes if you don't know how to call this word, you will think you are talking about your uncle here in the name. So all of that, keep, maintain ties with them. You visit them, even if they are kuffar, you give them their rights. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam commanded people to do all of that. فَقَالَ لِلْتَرْجُمَانِ So the king now said to the person that was translating, because you know we said that he brought a translator, right? قُلْ لَهُ Tell this man, because he was talking in his language and the person was interpreting. So after he had asked all those questions and the answers had been given, he said, قُلْ لَهُ Tell him, سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ نَسَبِهِ فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ فِيكُمْ ذُو نَسَبٍ I asked you concerning his family, his background, family background, and you said he came from a very noble family. فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ And I confirm that this is how all prophets are. All prophets of Allah come from very noble families. Their family background would be a very noble one. Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had a very chaste and noble And so on. All of them had came from noble family backgrounds. Had noble family backgrounds. فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ That's how all prophets are. So the king is already confirming from his first statement that this is actually the Prophet of Allah. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَبِ قَوْمِهَا All prophets are raised from the very noble families in their lands. Being noble in a society does not necessarily mean being a mu'min. If the father is not a Muslim, at least within his people, his family is respected. This is what is meant. Because Nabi Ibrahim didn't have a mu'min as the father. But at least amongst his people, he was respected. His family was respected. This is what is meant. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ قَالَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ And I asked you if somebody else had said this type of thing before he said it. Had somebody claimed prophethood before this Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا And you said no. Nobody had claimed prophethood before him. فَقُلْتُ And I also asked you, he is repeating his questions so that everybody would be sure of what had been said. He wants to remind the people of all that had been said before making his own comments. فَقُلْتُ Now I also asked you, لو كان أحد فذكرت الله قال أحد منكم هذا القول فذكرت الله. I asked you if somebody had said this before him and you said no. فقلت so I thought within me. لو كان أحد قال هذا القول قبله لقلت رجل يأتسي بقول قيل قبله. And I'll now say to myself, if he had been saying something that somebody had said before him, I would have said that he was only following the path that somebody had tread. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ آبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ. And I asked you, if his parents or anybody in his genealogy was a king, if he was a Yarima, a prince, فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا. And you said no. قُلْتُ. And I thought within me, فَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ آبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ قُلْتُ رَجُلٌ يَطْلُبُ مُلْكَ أَبِيهِ. If he had been from a royal family, I would have said that he was only looking, he was only asking for his throne, for his share of the throne. He only wanted to be a king again. That's why he came with this claim. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ كُنْتُمْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا قَالَ فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا. And I asked you if you ever thought of him as a liar before he said what he said. And you said no. فَقَدْ أَعْرِفُ. And sure I know. أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَذَرَ الْكَذِبَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. It's not possible for the man who can tell human beings lie to tell a lie against Allah. It's not possible. If he does not lie against a man, then he can't lie against Allah. What does this mean? If a man is a liar within fellow men, then we don't trust anything he says concerning Allah. Is that true? So if you, the preacher, are a liar, then you say, Allah says, we say, no, it's not true. We want to confirm, it's not true, you are a liar. That's why liars don't have the hadith written in Sahih al-Bukhari or any book of hadith that wants to be concerned with only good hadith. Liars. Once you are said to be a liar, you're finished in the field of hadith. Nobody works with what you report as hadith. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the mu'min can't lie. وَسَأَلْتُكَ أشراف الناس اتبعوه أم ضعفاؤهم. And I asked you, is it the arrogant, the big, the high and mighty in the society, the very arrogant high and mighty in the society that follow him? Are those his followers? Or the meek, gentle, the oppressed of the earth? Are they the majority of his followers? Does he have any arrogant person following him around as his disciple or something? And you say that it's the meek, gentle, and poor and oppressed people, noble people too, in their own right, who followed him. وَهُمْ أَتْبَاءُ الرُّسُلِ. And I know that these are the people who follow the messengers. The peasants, the poor people you have around, gentle people, are those who follow messengers, the prophets of Allah. The kings, the queens, the governors, the heads of state, the counselors, the chairmen, if you see them with any preacher, just shake your head. If you see any preacher amongst those people having a swell time, laughing and chatting, sorry, just shake your head. There's something questionable about him. The arrogant people of society never like people who tell the truth, let alone messengers. وَسَأَلْتُكَ أَيَزِيدُونَ أَمْ يَنْقُصُونَ. And I asked you if they were diminishing, if their number was decreasing, or if they were increasing. فذكرت أنهم يزيدون. And you said that they were increasing rather than decreasing. وكذلك أمر الإيمان حتى يتم. And the king now said, and I confirm that this is how faith is, until it is complete. Faith is not supposed to decrease, it's supposed to increase. That's how faith should be. So this confirms that faith is actually supposed to increase. How does it increase? Good works every time, and the man keeps increasing. All right? وسألتك أيرتد أحد سخطة لدينه بعد أن يدخل فيه فذكرت الله. And I asked you, does anybody leave the fold of Islam just because he thinks that it's not a good religion? Because he is displeased with the religion? So he's not asking after people who say they denounce Islam because they have been forced to denounce Islam, or people who denounce Islam because they were defeated in battle or something, or people who denounce Islam because they wanted to seek the pleasures of this world. I'm not asking you concerning those, because you will have a lot of people who will just be giving a so-called miracle. They were ill, there was no treatment, they went to hospital, no treatment, and somebody just came and said, oh, speaking tongue, and then you're well. And they say, hey, I also leave Islam. Lots of people like that. I'm not... Subhanallah. I'm not asking you concerning people like that. I'm asking about people who leave Islam because they are dissatisfied with the religion itself. Do people denounce Islam on such grounds? For the court of Allah? And you say, no. وكذلك الإيمان حين يخالط بشاشته القلوب. And this is how the faith is. When faith mixes with the heart, they blend. They blend. There's a very strong, what do you say in sciences? Bond between them. When faith mixes with the heart. Your heart, all that your heart needs is not music. We are our architects. Environmental. We are our architects. You think that what your soul needs is music. You're foolish. You don't know what you're doing. You're just a follow. They tell you that that's what you need, and you also believe that that's what you need. Music kills your soul. What your soul needs is faith. If true faith meets your heart, they blend, and you're the happiest man on earth. You'll be the best architect in the world. That's what you need, faith, not music. Music makes you a lousy architect. Music makes you a lousy artist. Music makes you a dandy. It doesn't do anything to your soul. It's not food for your soul. It's poison for your soul. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ يَغْدِرْ. And I asked you if he is treacherous, if you know him for treachery, if you know him for betrayal. فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا. And you said no. So you see, he didn't even repeat what he said about the treaty when he said, we don't know what he is going to do about it. He didn't even mention that. He simply said, I asked you if you know him for treachery, and you said no. That's all. So that statement didn't mean anything to him. وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ لَا تَغْدِرْ. And that is how messengers of Allah are. Nobody amongst them is known for treachery, for betrayal. Nobody. The treaty, they keep to it. They make a promise, they fulfill. Prophets are not like our governors now. Prophets are not like our politicians now. Prophets are not like all these filthy, some of these are preachers you have now. Prophets are not like them. That's why on Yawm al-Qiyamah, A lot of people will come and say, oh, Ya Rasulullah, we are for you. And you say, no, go away, you changed. You changed after me. So you go away. I have nothing to do with you. Just like it was reported in the Bible that Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, told some people that they were dogs, they were filthy, they were, even though I don't expect a Prophet of Allah to talk like that. To compare human beings to dogs, to filthy rags, and no. But they said he said that. Maybe they forgot what he said. He said something that sounded like that and they thought he said that. We don't expect prophets to say that. وَسَأَلْتُكَ بِمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ And I asked you concerning the things that he asks you to do. What are his commandments? فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا And you told me that he commands you to worship Allah and not to associate partners with him. وَيَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ And that he prevents you from worshipping idols. So when Abu Sufyan said he also commands us to leave what our ancestors say, Heraclius already interpreted it to mean that he said you should leave the worship of idols. Eh? So he was not actually talking about what they say with their mouths, but what they do with their limbs. You see the translation? You see the interpretation? Said, you told me that he tells you to leave the worship of idols. Idols in form of the things that you have carved with your hands, and idols in form of rules and regulations. All are idols. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْعَفَافِ And he said he commands you to say your salah. As-salah could mean this practical salah, and it could also mean dua. فَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا Then Aisha said this salah here is dua. Okay? So he commands you to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perform salah. Say your dua. Channel your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he had already said, worship Allah and don't associate partners. Amongst worship, you have salah, you have dua, you have zakah and all these things. So you channel them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Not to graves, not to human beings, not to photographs. Some people nowadays worship photographs. On his car you see somebody's photograph. On his door you see a photograph. In his room. Even when some people are about to perform some zikr now, they place a photograph by the wall where they're going. I don't know what this means. I don't know what type of tawassul is this. I don't know who started this. I don't know if the Sahaba were ever reported to have placed the Prophet's photograph and performed zikr by that side. You see, that's why you start a bid'ah, you open the door to 2 million bid'ahs. You start one, and you get to the other and other. Bid'ah is like a lie. You tell one lie, you have to tell 10 to defend one.
No.
Is it true? Is it true?
Yes,
it's true. If you tell a lie about your age, that's one, you have to go and get a certificate to confirm that that is your age. You have told another lie. And so on and so forth. And he commands you to be chaste. You told me that. فَإِن كَانَ مَا تَقُولُ حَقَّ If all of these things you have said are true, I repeated them so that you will say, okay, no, something I said was not true. And you kept quiet. The king seemed to be saying that. So he said, if all of these things you have said are true, فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ
Allahu Akbar.
That means that this Islam is going to get to this place that I am sitting today. So it's going to get to Jerusalem, whether Arian, whatever, likes it or not. Huh? Islam is going to get to Jerusalem. Islam is going to conquer Israel, to conquer America, to conquer England, to conquer everywhere. Like you say, it will be the religion of the future, whether they like it or not. That's why they are so worried today, and all we tell them is, sorry, join us or perish in hell. We'll have to get there. So Heraclius had confirmed this at that time, that this thing will get here. But what Heraclius unfortunately was worried about was the throne. Said that means that throne will also reign supreme here. And that's what he kept getting worried about. And this was the reason why he did not embrace Islam, unfortunately. وَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ خَارِجٌ. And I actually knew that he would appear. I already knew about him. I knew that a prophet would appear. لَمْ أَكُنْ أَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ مِنْكُمْ. Only that I didn't expect him to be from the Arab land.
No.
This is the only problem that he had. He didn't expect him to be from the Arab land. It's like a sister bringing a husband now. And they say, what's his job? Say, he's a medical doctor. I say, oh, I like medical doctors.
Yes, no.
They're very intelligent people.
Yeah.
Let me see him. The man appears, he's very fine. Say, oh, very handsome young man. He's very respectful. What tribe is he from? Says Yoruba. That is a problem. I didn't expect him to be Yoruba. What problem do you have with Yoruba? Were they created by Shaitan? That's the problem people have. He didn't expect him to be from the Arab land. That was another problem that he had. فَلَوْ أَنِّي أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي أَخْلُصُ إِلَيْهِ لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ عَنْ قَدَمِهِ. If only I thought I could get to him. This has two meanings. First of all, there is another riwayah that says that if only I had believed in him, if only I could be sure that what he was saying was true. Another one like this one is showing clearly is that he is not sure he can get to him safe. That if he were to attempt to go to him, his people would kill him on the way. So he will lose the throne, he will lose his life, and he didn't want that. If only I had known that, I would have made attempts to get to him, and if I had gotten to him, I would wash his feet. Why? Because he was already sure that that man would rule the world. And he didn't want to lose his throne, which was part of the world. So he would wash his feet
so that
he would still maintain his throne.
No.
These are the things that are dangerous to man. If you like money too much, or you like to be a ruler, you like leadership, you want to be the Amir by all means, you want to be the Muaddin, you are eyeing this, you are eyeing that. If you have that problem in the world, you will never achieve what you want. You will die unsatisfied. And who knows what you meet when you die? Maybe you will be more unsatisfied after you would have died. If you are not a contented person, you have a problem. You are a problem to yourself, you are a problem to your family, you are a problem to the air that you breathe. Contentment is is a very good ingredient in every successful person's life. ثم دعا بكتاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الذي بعث به دحية إلى عظيم بصرى فدفعه إلى هرقل فقرأه فإذا فيه. And he now said, bring me the letter which had been sent to me from the king of Basra, which had also been sent to him by Dihya, who had actually delivered it to him. Let me have that letter read. You know, already he had received the letter, that's why he kept asking these questions. He had heard something. He now said, open the letter and read. And it was opened, and what they saw in it, the first thing, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Like we said, this is how a Muslim should start his letter. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the most official letter you can write. If it's informal, if it's formal, the best letter writer in the world is the man who starts it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رأس الحكمة مخافة الله. If you want to know the person who has wisdom, is that person who fears Allah, who remembers Allah all the time. So, the wisdom in your letter is the fact that you start with Allah's name and Allah's assistance. So he wrote, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من محمد عبد الله ورسوله إلى هرقل عظيم الروم. This letter is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the servant of Allah. That's the first thing he said about himself. Humility is another sign of being God-fearing. You know, one day they said one man went to a known alim in this country, Sheikh Mahmoud Abu Bakr Ibuni, and he said, Assalamu alaikum, at the door. The Malam wasn't seeing him yet. The Malam said, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Who is it? And he said, I am Sheikh Ibrahim, for instance. Said, I'm Malam Ibrahim. Said, are you Sheikh Ibrahim? He said, yes. Said, go to school. Go and learn, I don't want to see you. When you have read, you come back to me. You know, like, that's what they encourage you to do now. You want to talk to somebody, say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Introduce yourself, say, I am Alhaji Doctor Professor. If a man does that, you just keep tell him to sit down. Shut up, keep quiet. No humility, we won't trust anything we hear from you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started by saying, I am the servant of Allah. I'm a servant. That's the most important thing about me. I'm a servant. I serve. There's pride in serving. If you're serving the one and only true Allah, there's pride in service. So he said, I'm Abdullahi wa Rasuli. I'm a servant of Allah. And he says, I'm his messenger. I'm a servant. سلام على من اتبع الهدى. May the peace of Allah reign on whoever follows the guidance. Because the man was not a Muslim. أما بعد after that, فإني أدعوك بدعاية الإسلام. I'm calling you with the call of Islam. أسلم. That means I'm asking you to embrace Islam straight away. Nothing to be shy about. Be a Muslim. I saw a kid that impressed me one day, a small boy, about 10 or 11 years old. He met his friend who was coming from the church. They greeted him and he said, come and embrace Islam. He was a wonderful boy. First thing he told him, he said, come on, embrace Islam and leave this thing you're carrying around on Sundays. So he said, Aslim, embrace Islam. This is the call, Taslam. If you want peace, if you want safety, if you want your throne, if you want something greater than your throne, just embrace Islam. Just serve Allah, and whatever you want will be doubled for you. You will rule the world if you have Allah. You will lose everything if you don't have Allah. If only he had understood this first statement and had been guided by it, all his problems would have been solved. Aslim taslam. Yu'tika Allahu ajraka marratain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward twice. First, for believing Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and second for believing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So if a Christian embraces Islam, he is now more important than you who were born a Muslim, because he has his reward twice. He believed in Prophet Isa, believed in the others, and now he believed in that book before the Quran, and he now believes the Quran also in addition. So double for him. يُؤْتِكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ. But if you turn your back on this message, فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمَ الْأَرِيسِيِّينَ. You are a king. So if you refuse to embrace Islam, there are two things that will happen. There is a sin on you, and Allah will punish you for that. And there is a sin also from your peasants who will not also be able to embrace Islam because you have not. They will be afraid of you. That sin will also be blamed on you too. There will be two blames on you. That's why kings are important when you are going for da'wah. Kings, rulers, all those important people, they are very important. If you get them, you get their followers. So you have to, you know, preach to them with a lot of care, with a lot of caution, because they are very important to the deen. You get them and you get their followers. But if it appears that these people do not want the faith, you leave them alone and hold on to Allah, and Allah will deal with them. So he now read to him a verse of the Holy Quran. وَيَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. So O people of the book, Jews and Christians, تعالوا, come إلى كلمة, unto a word, سواء بيننا وبينكم. What? Come to a word that will unite us, unite Muslims and all others. The only difference between us and anybody who is not a part of us is that we worship Allah alone and do not associate partners with Allah. If anybody is different from us, it's because he is worshipping something else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's following commands from people and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's following something other than the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That's the difference between us. So you want something that will unite us? Come on to the things that we hold on to, and we shall become one. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was telling him in that letter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah na'buda illallah. What's that statement? That we do not worship any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And that some of us should not hold others as objects of worship, lords and masters. No. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا. But if they refuse to pay heed to this call, فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. We are Muslims, and we want you to be witnesses to the fact that we shall hold on to Islam. We will not follow you. That's what it means. We are asking you to follow our path because we are on the path of Allah. If you don't want to follow that path, do whatever it is you want to do, but we shall be Muslims. And we do not care how powerful you think you are. You have bombs, you have missiles, you have threats, you have lies in your mouth to deceive people and say we are terrorists and all that. Oh-ho. We will be Muslims, and Muslims we shall remain. Qala Abu Sufyan. So Abu Sufyan said, فَلَمَّا قَالَ مَا قَالَ. When he had said what he said, وَفَرَغَ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْكِتَابِ. And he finished reading the letter. كَثُرَ عِنْدَهُ الصَّخَبُ. There was a lot of hue and cry. You know, the people were saying different things and oh, and mumblings and all that. وارتفعت الأصوات and voices were raised. People were reacting to the letter in different ways. وأخرجنا and we were asked to leave the palace. And we left the palace. فقلت لأصحابي حين أخرجنا and I said to my people, the members of the caravan, when we were out of the palace, I said to them, لقد أمر أمر ابن أبي كبشة. This son of Abu Kabsha, this his issue is getting beyond my nose. إِنَّهُ يَخَافُهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. Even this man, this ruler of the Byzantines, is afraid of Muhammad. This his issue is getting is becoming something else. He's beginning to get afraid. He's beginning to realize that what they thought was impossible will definitely become possible. فَمَا زِلْتُ مُوْقِنًا أَنَّهُ سَيَظْهَرُ حَتَّى أَدْخَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ الْإِسْلَامِ. And from then on, I never doubted the fact that this religion would prevail over all others until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guided me. Even before I received that guidance, I always knew that this man would reign supreme, that Islam would reign supreme. I always had this in me from that moment. وَقَالَ ابْنُ النَّاطُورِ. The sub-narrator is now bringing something else. After this story, he said there was somebody who was called Ibn al-Natur. He was governor of Jerusalem. Sahibu Iliya wa Hirakla Sukkufan ala Nasara al-Sham. Yuhaddithu anna Hirakla hina qadima Iliya. This man, Ibn al-Natur, concerning whom this sub-story will be given, was the governor of Jerusalem, and he used to tell them about this Heraclius. What did he say about Heraclius? He said that when Heraclius came to Jerusalem, أَصْبَحَ يَوْمًا خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ. One day we just saw him in the morning, a very sad person, didn't look happy. And the pastor and all those people about him said, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ بَطَارِقَتِهِ قَدْ اسْتَنْكَرْنَا حَيْئَتَكَ. Well, we don't like the way we're saying you. What is wrong with you? What could be wrong with our king? قَالَ ابْنُ النَّاطُورِ. Ibn al-Natur, the governor, said, وَقَالَ هِرَقْلُ حَزَّاءً يَنْظُرُ فِي النُّجُومِ. Heraclius was a soothsayer, fortune teller. And he also was an astrologer. He used to practice some astrology, and used to tell fortunes, he was a soothsayer, who would tell you some things that he thought would happen later. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ حِينَ سَأَلُوهُ. And he answered when he was asked. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ اللَّيْلَةَ حِينَ نَظَرْتُ فِي النُّجُومِ مَلِكَ الْخِتَانِ قَدْ ظَهَرَ. That when I practiced my astrology, when I, in the night, I saw something that is making me sad. What did I see? If in Arabic you say, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ اللَّيْلَةَ, you say, in the night I saw something, then it means you are talking in the morning. But if you say it in the afternoon, you will say, Al-Bariha. No. The night before that day, because we're already in the afternoon, so you will not say Layla any longer. So this will show you the time that this statement is being made. You need Arabic even to understand the Quran, the Hadith and all that. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ اللَّيْلَةَ حِينَ نَظَرْتُ فِي النُّجُومِ. When I practiced my astrology, I saw something last night. مَلِكَ الْخِتَانِ قَدْ ظَهَرَ. I saw somebody, the leader of those people who are circumcised. I saw him reigning supreme. I saw that he was the one that actually owned the throne now, which means that that person was going to take over our land. فَمَنْ يَحْتَتِنُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Amongst these people around us, who are those who practice, who circumcise? Who are circumcised? Who are they? قَالُوا لَيْسَ يَحْتَتِنُ إِلَّا الْيَهُودِ. The only people we know who are circumcised are the Jews. فلا يهمنك شأنهم. Don't be afraid of them. Don't worry yourself about them. واكتب إلى مدائن ملكك فيقتلوا من فيهم من اليهود. If you like, just send a letter. Send the word that all the Jews be killed, and they will be killed. فبينما هم على أمرهم, as they were saying all this, أتي هرقل برجل أرسل به ملك غسان يخبر عن خبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I will not stop until we have finished this hadith. I hope you don't mind, because there is something very short left. So, as they were doing this, somebody was sent from Ghassan with a letter which had been sent from the king of that place. And he was sent with something concerning a story, you know, that had to do with the noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا اسْتَخْبَرَهُ هِرَقْلُ قَالَ. When he was told what the man had come with, he said, اِذْهَبُوا فَانْظُرُوا مُخْتَتِنٌ هُوَ أَمْ لَا. أَمُخْتَتِنٌ هُوَ أَمْ لَا. Go to him and strip him and look at his private part. Is he circumcised or not? فَنَظَرُوا إِلَيْهِ. They went and did that. فَحَدَّثُوهُ أَنَّهُ مُخْتَتِنٌ. They came and told him that that person was circumcised. وَسَأَلَهُ عَنِ الْعَرَبِ. And he was asked, that person who had come with the letter, was asked concerning the Arabs. فَقَالَ هُمْ يَخْتَتِنُونَ. They also are circumcised. فَقَالَ هِرَقْلُ. Heraclius now said, هَذَا مُلْكُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَدْ ظَهَرَ. مَلِكُ, sorry. هَذَا مُلْكُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَدْ ظَهَرَ. This is the throne of this generation that has appeared. This is the ruler of my people that has appeared. So this man will actually rule over us. If the Arabs are circumcised, then that ruler of the circumcised that I saw is this noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he is the one that I saw that would reign over us. ثم كتب هرقل إلى صاحب له برومية. Now Heraclius, on knowing this, wrote to a friend of his, in Rome, the king of Rome. He wrote him a letter. That friend of his was also somebody who was as learned as he was. He also knew the scriptures. وَكَانَ نَظِيرَهُ فِي الْعِلْمِ. He was his mate as far as knowledge was concerned. They were, you know, contemporaries. وَصَارَ هِرَقْلُ إِلَى حِمْصَ. After that, he traveled to a place known as Homs. فَلَمْ يرى الحمص حتى أتاه كتاب من صاحبه يوافق رأي هرقل على خروج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأنه نبي. So when that mate of his sent back the reply to his letter, he saw that his friend was also confirming what he also thought. He was also confirming the fact that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was a messenger of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. He had believed him. So, فأذن هرقل لعظماء الروم في تذكرة له بحمصة. So, on hearing that, on reading that, he said, okay. He called all his, you know, deputies and all that, his people around him, the people under him, his ministers and so. He said, all of them shall gather. He had something to say. They assembled in his palace, in Homs. ثم أمر بأبوابها فغلقت. He now ordered that all the doors be locked. And all the doors were locked. So he was in the palace with those people alone now. ثم طلع فقال. He now appeared to them and said, يا معشر الروم, O you Byzantines, هل لكم في الفلاح والرشد وأن يثبت ملككم فتبايعوا هذا النبي. Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be guided? Do you also want this your throne to remain forever? If you want that, then I advise you to follow this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. فَحَاسُوا حيصة حمر الوحش إلى الأبواب فوجدوها قد غلقت. And when they heard that, say, no, we won't. They ran towards the door, as if they wanted to leave the palace and leave him alone. When they reached the doors, they discovered that all the doors were locked, all the gates were locked. So when he saw that, he knew that these people would not embrace Islam, and that he was in danger, because he knew he would be killed, because he knew his history. He knew his people, if anybody wanted to do that, they would kill him. That's why in the first place, he expressed doubt that he would be able to get to the Prophet, because he knew he would be killed before he got there. So when he saw this, فَلَمَّا رَأَى هِرَقْلُ نَفْرَتَهُمْ وَأَيْسَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ قَالَ. When he saw that there was no way he could succeed, and that they would not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ, he said, رُدُّوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. He ordered that they be turned back towards him. Come back, let me tell you something. وَقَالَ, and he said, إِنِّي قُلْتُ مَقَالَتِي آنِفًا أَخْتَبِرُ بِهَا شِدَّتَكُمْ عَلَى دِينِكُمْ. I said what I said because I wanted to know how firm you are holding on to your traditional religion. Why was he getting lost like this? Because he wanted to remain on the throne. He didn't want to lose what he had. If only he had remembered that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, safety lies with Allah. If only he had remembered that, he wouldn't have done what he did now. فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ, and now I know that you are very strong in your deen. I only wanted to test you. فَسَجَدُوا لَهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. They now prostrated in front of him there, prostrated to him, and then I said, okay, we now agree with you, we trust you, and all that. Allegiance, huh? فَكَانَ ذَلِكَ آخِرَ شَأْنِهِ رَقْلَ. And this was the end of his story. رواه صالح بن كيسان ويونس ومعمر عن الزهري. All these people reported this from الزهري رحمه الله. This is the end of Abu Sufyan's story. It's very long, and I actually insisted on finishing this hadith today. So there are so many things in terms of commentary that we're supposed to have done which we couldn't do. We hope that Allah blesses what we were able to do. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now to the questions. How many minutes more do we have for questions? 15. 15? I told you 15. It's 22 minutes past 8 now, isn't it? We have 6 minutes more. So we are going to take our friend Harun Yahya. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time today to talk about him. But what are the problems I have about him? That's the question that was asked, isn't it? And the person indicated that they were already into him. They like him so much, they read a lot of his books, and they have, you know, been inspired by them. And now I'm saying that he is a shaitan. Yes, he's a shaitan. Why am I saying what I'm saying? And why am I coming with such very strong statements about him? You see, if you read all his books, like I started saying last week, you will hardly see the man quoting our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many ahadith have you read that he quoted? How many? Why are the people who are inspired by this man? How many ahadith have you read that he quoted in his books? You hardly read any hadith in his book. Didn't you ever question that before you got inspired by him? If a man does not believe the prophets, the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man does not believe the Quran. If the man claims that he believes the Quran, say it's a lie. How did he get the Quran? How did he get the Quran? How? Did it drop to him from heaven? It was reported by the Sahaba that this was the Quran, isn't it? The Sahaba passed it to the Tabi'un, and so on and so forth, to our generation. How do we know now? The Shiites say that what we have in our hands is not the complete Quran. there are additions and subtractions. That's what they believe. And in their own, there's a subtraction from what we have, and there's an addition to what we have, in what they have in their hands. They say there are some things that are not present. How do we know which one is the true Quran? How do we confirm which is the true Quran? Through Harun Yahya's books?
No.
Eh?
No.
How?
Ahadith
will tell us. Ahadith will confirm that this is interpolation and this is true. Only Ahadith can tell you that. Because you have to ask the companions. How do you ask the companions? Through Harun Yahya's books? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept warning. Let me not meet one of you reclining on his couch and saying that the Quran alone and nothing else. Let me not hear anybody doing that. You do that, you get lost. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu addressed the Sahaba one day. He had a very lengthy sermon. And he said, I'm afraid that some people will get up one day and say that we will not stone the adulteress because we did not see that rule in the Quran. It was in the Quran, and it's one of the ayat of the Quran which you will no longer see written in the Mushaf today, but the hukum is still on. The rule is still on. That is how it shall be. So he kept warning people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read it as part of the Quran. And it's still part of the Quran, even though you can't see it written there, because the hukum is still on, and we still use it in our courts and all that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled that, and two people were stoned on his orders, because of that verse. So it's still on, we're still using it. If we catch an adulteress today, or an adulterer, we will stone the person. It's still in existence. Know this. He kept telling the Sahaba this. And one day, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was sitting, and somebody came. Ibn Abbas was there. The person came and was asking, Fi sabilillah, help me for the sake of Allah. Give me something you have. Give me sadaqah. Give me date. Give me money. And so on. So Sayyidina Umar looked at this person. His skin was very fresh. Skin was very smooth. Person was looking more comfortable than the people he was asking. So he was surprised. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas started reciting something. Said, لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ لابتغى إليهما ثالثا ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب. Sayyidina Umar said, what is that you reciting? He said, it's the Quran. It was recited by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one of the ayat that you no longer find physically on the pages of the Quran today as part of the Mus'haf, but those are still the Quran. Because the Qur'an is not the piece of paper that you see today alone. The Qur'an is that which is recited. And that which is recited includes those ayats that have been abrogated. They are still the Qur'an because they were recited by Allah. And they were sent from Lawhul Mahfuz to Malak Jibreel to our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are still the Qur'an. Whether they are amongst the abrogated ayats or not, you understand? Those are all the Quran. How do you get all of this Quran if you do not care about the hadith? مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَاتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نَنْسَاهَا نَاتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ نَنْسَاهَا أَوْ نُنْسِهَا أَوْ نَنْسَاهَا. All these are qira'at of the Qur'an. You read At-Tibyan by Imam Al-Uqbari and you see all of these. These ayat of the Qur'an that have been abrogated are part of the Qur'an. How do you know them? Allah said that some were abrogated, and there are different types of abrogation. Is that the word you use for nasr?
No.
So how do you know them? How do you know those ayahs have been abrogated? How do you know the ones that replaced them? How? By reading Harun Yahya's books? Harun Yahya is asking you to disbelieve all of this because he doesn't use the Quran at all. And I found a very legal statement by this person. I bought this book because of that question. You know the da'wah can be expensive these days. He said, people who believe in Allah and who humbly obey Him organize their lives in accordance with Allah's recommendations and the Quran. And he stopped there. Said, he who lives the religion leads his life complying with the right things his conscience inspires in him. And this is quick grasp of faith, quick grasp of Jahannam. That's what you have in this book, not faith. Your conscience, what it inspires in you, that's what guides you. Subhanallah. Inna an-nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su'i illa ma rahima rabbi. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu said that if religion had been based of whims, on whims and caprices, that I would have said that people rob beneath their hoof and not above. But that's not what the Prophet did. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We don't have time to trash this issue and time is up. But there are so many things that I think we should disagree with concerning this man Harun Yahya. I'm not saying, however, that he is completely useless. Some things he said in the field of science are very interesting. They are fantastic, no doubt about it. But when it comes to aqidah, when it comes to faith, the man is a total failure. And even in sciences, he pinches himself by not also referring to the ahadith which confirm some of these scientific things now, discoveries and all that. If he had used the hadith, his books would have been richer than they are now. Because the Quran and the hadith will have to exist together. You separate them and you fall in hell. That's his failure. So his work in sciences is incomplete because the hadith is not helping. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ إِنَّمَا كَانَ أَمْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The only guided people, the only people that shall be admitted into Al-Jannah are those who obey Allah and His Prophet together. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
O Allah, I ask of you integrity and soundness in my religion, my life, my family, and my positions. O Allah, cover my shame, pacify my fears, guard me from what is in front of me and behind me, from what is on my right and on my left, over my head and under my feet. O Allah, grant health to my body. O Allah, grant health to my hearing. O Allah, grant health to my sight. There is no deity except you. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from unbelief and poverty, and from the punishment of the grave. There is no deity except you. O Allah, you are my Lord. There is no deity except you. You are my creator, and I am your creature. I try to keep my covenant with you, and to live in the hope of your promise as well as I can. I seek refuge in you from my own evil deeds. I acknowledge your favors to me, and I acknowledge my sins. Forgive me my sins, for there is no one who can forgive sins except you. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from worry and sorrow. I seek refuge in you from impotence and sloth, from stinginess and cowardice. And I seek refuge in you from the burden of death and from being humbled by men. O Allah, make the beginning of this day good, the middle prosperous, and the end successful. I ask you to grant me the good of this world and of the hereafter.